Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Up State. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. Be a part of the radio program, 844-326-3663 is the number. If you'd like to jump in, we certainly would love for you to. You can use that same number to text us on the Hub City Spartan Burgers text line, 844-326-3663. This is usually the case, and it is usually the case when the football teams that we cover primarily are not good. Tuesday's quiet. I need you to pick it up, people. I am a firm believer that the show is better with more voices on it. And yes, I am talking about you. So, 844-326-3663, call in and be on the air. You can also text that number with your takes. Coming up on the show today, here's what we've got for you. Coming up later on in the next hour of the show, starting at 8 a.m., the lovely Lulu Kessin is going to join us to talk a little Gamecocks. She normally joins us on Thursdays, but Lulu is headed up to New York, over the next couple of days. So Lulu, kind enough to give us some time this beautiful Tuesday morning. We'll check in with her thoughts on the Gamecocks after their win over the Kentucky Wildcats this weekend. Find out exactly what she thinks went right and if they can carry it on from there. Coming up in the final segment of this show, while I do not ordinarily put a bunch of baseball in the money hour, which is, of course, 7 to 8 when all of you unfortunate sons of guns have to go to your jobs and do responsibility things for the day. Sucks to be you. We are going to put baseball in the drive hour this hour because the Major League Baseball postseason begins this very day. We have games at 1:36 and 9 o'clock. We'll reset the bracket for you, and I will give you my picks, predictions, and prognostications for both the wild card series and give you my pre-postseason World Series participants out of the American League and the National League, as well as who I believe will be bringing home the crown this year.
So the Yankees could win the whole thing, right?
The Yankees can win the whole
thing,
right?
Which would make a lot of people angry. Okay, I'm rooting for the Yankees.
However, I am not picking the Yankees, nor am I picking the Los Angeles Dodgers.
I guess we'll have to find out later on this
hour. We sure will. What a tease it is. We've got your water cooler cheat sheet here. I've got another conversation that I wanted to have. If you missed the first hour of the show, the theme of the day today, because when I look at the teams that we primarily cover, I am talking about the Carolina Panthers in the NFL. I am talking about the South Carolina Gamecocks and the Clemson Tigers in college football. And I can even go so far as to extrapolate this to the Atlanta Braves in the disastrous 2025 season that they had. I can extrapolate this and I can apply it to the Carolina Hurricanes, who have been a team in the NHL, as we are very close to NHL opening day as well, a team in the NHL that has done a wonderful job repeatedly getting close and consistently running into buzz saws that prevent them from hoisting another Stanley Cup. I can put this on there as well. The theory that I floated is, it is a wonderful thing that this country embraces, celebrates, is founded on, I would argue, individualism. But I do think that to some degree, we have lost what that should mean, and I think it's translated into the world of sports. Individualism is the right to be yourself. It is the right to do what you want to do, to work how and where you want to work, to be as successful or as lazy as you want to be. It is the right to worship how you wish to worship or not to. It is the right to love who you want to love or no one at all. It is the right to be unequivocally and unapologetically yourself, despite the fact that there are a lot of people out there who are trying to stop a lot of other people from doing that. That is what the foundational core principle of this country is. And that's a good thing. But I think that to some degree, and this is bleeding over into sports, we have also taken that to mean that I should celebrate not wanting to put anything above me. And I'm not saying everyone is guilty of this, but I think a lot of people are. I think a lot of people have reached this mentality of, I should put me above everything. And I'm going to tell you, it makes it very difficult to reach your goals. And more importantly, for the individual and for teams, it makes it not just more difficult for you to reach your goal and for the team that you are participating in order to succeed, but I think it does a disservice to everyone around you when that is the case. I think it prevents you from recognizing spots where maybe you have received help or maybe you should receive help, but won't. I think there's a lot of that. And I've cited a couple of examples. I went with the Panthers in the last segment. In the post-game press conference after they were embarrassed by the New England Patriots, Dave Canales gave like six different answers where he said, it's on me. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I've got to find out this. I've got to put the guys in a position to succeed, whatever. And since then, and I don't know if this will translate onto the football field or not. We'll find out Sunday when the Panthers take on the Dolphins in Miami. Since then, at least two players, and I'd be willing to bet that there are more, but at least two players, J.C. Horn and Derrick Brown, two guys that, yes, I expect to be leaders of both the defense of this team, have come out and said, if we're going to be player-led, we need players to lead. We need guys to step up. Because I also pointed out, I haven't seen that on the football field. I am going to go with another NFL mentality. The Kansas City Chiefs had a friggin' dynasty going for a while. May still have one going after the win that they put together this weekend. The New England Patriots, I would argue, the greatest dynasty in the history of the National Football League. What is the one thing that we stamped with those teams? Great team. Had individual players, but there were very few points in time where it looked like guys were performing in a way that led you or us or anyone to believe that their individuality was more important than the efforts of the team to succeed. And maybe that is the system. Maybe, like Bill Belichick, I firmly believe, did. It's because you kick out anybody who does not buy in that way. Or, like Andy Reid has done at Kansas City, when you get there, he's got a team that says, you're one of us, or you're not. You're OOU or you're OUT. And it's on you which one that is. I don't know. But I want to keep that discussion going. And we will do that, as mentioned, with a couple of other teams that I want to talk about this morning. That being said, it is 7:08. You have less than 52 minutes until you've got to be to the office. Until you have got to pretend that you care about your job. Here's what you're really going to do. You're going to kill time until Thursday, until we get some more college football on TV, some more pro football on TV, until the NBA and NHL preseasons continue. I know what the goal is. It's kill time. Don't you worry, though, friends. That's why Lonzo and I are here to help, and that's why we, at 7 a.m., do this. What are cooler cheat sheet top three sports stories you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports with your supervisor, your manager, your coworkers, your IT guy, whoever you talk sports with?
That was very Dubai.
Dubai.
Why did I say Dubai?
I don't know. That's a different place.
It is.
Item number one. A pair of Monday Night Football games yesterday evening wrapped up the National Football League week. The Miami Dolphins are now no longer a winless football team. 1-3 after a 27-21 win over the Jets. Credit to Justin Fields and the Jets. They tried to make it interesting at the end last night. Scored a touchdown with a couple of minutes left. Went for, did not successfully get the onside kick, but it did get a little dicier for Miami than they would have liked. Tua Tagovailoa, listen, we've talked about this with Bryce Young. I think some people look at yardage number and touchdown numbers, and if they are high, they go good game by the quarterback, and if they're low, they go bad game by the quarterback. Sometimes a quarterback can have a very good game with numbers that don't blow you off the page. Tua Tagovailoa was that last night. For a guy who has taken a lot of crap for performance this year, he had a very efficient game last night. 17 of 25 for 177 yards and a pair of touchdowns. Do you know what Tua Tagovailoa did last night? He took care of the football, he found the open guy, and he let the system work instead of trying to force it. We saw too many times this year that Tua was just rearing back and unleashing artillery down the field. Last night, he just said, where's the open guy? Let's get the ball to the playmakers and let the playmakers make plays. 17 of 25, 177, and two touchdowns. Devon Etienne had 20 carries for 99 yards and a tutty. The Dolphins ran for 123. Here's the thing. The Jets had a better day through the air. Justin Fields, who I think absolutely performed last night, 20 of 27, 226 yards, and a touchdown. On the ground, Justin Fields ran seven times for 81 yards. He and Breece Hall both had 81 yards, although it took Breece 14 carries to get there. The Jets ran for 197 yards last night. Justin Fields, however, had the only rushing touchdown, a 43-yard, pretty impressive run, to be honest with you. This team, if I gave you the stats, if I said this game is against the Miami Dolphins and the stats were Fields 20 of 27 for 226 and a touchdown, ran 7 for 81 and a touch, and Breece Hall had 14 carries for 81 yards, you had Garrett Wilson with 82 and a touch, Mason Taylor with 65, you'd probably assume that the Jets won that game over Miami. But Miami was just efficient with the football last night. The other part of this story, Tyreek Hill, done for the year, had a dislocated left knee. Very gruesome injury that took place to Tyreek Hill last night. Now, a dislocated knee is bad enough in itself. The problem is that when a knee dislocates, it tends to take a lot, most, sometimes all, of those supporting ligaments around the knee out with it as well. It could be ACL, MCL, PCL, tears all the way around. We will get an update, I'm sure, from the Miami Dolphins later on tonight, but their season, despite picking up win number one last night, just got tougher. Even though Tyreek Hill has not really been a guy who has been a massive contributor to the offense this year, he's also a guy that, you know, run a nine route, take the lid off the defense, and let's work underneath that, which for a quarterback like Tua Tagovailoa, wildly important.
Do you find it disturbing that he's smiling and happy on the cart?
No, I don't.
Everyone deals with pain in their own way.
But I think there was probably, if I had to guess, is definitely not a doctor. Way too dumb for that.
Plenty of memes about how happy he is he doesn't have to play on the team the rest of the
year. Yeah, and again, like I think that is one of those times that the internet is gross. I think he was probably first and foremost dealing with a hell of a lot of adrenaline, because the guy who noticed that his leg was facing 90 degrees the wrong way first was him. There's a picture of him, I think he's like kneeling on his right knee, looking at his left knee. You are looking straight at Tua. Straight at Tyreek. His knee is pointed at you, and his foot's facing to the left. I think he saw what happened and probably just went into shock in that moment. 28-3, the Broncos get the better of what's left of the Bengals last night. Bo Nix, 29-42, 326, two touchdowns, and an interception. Former Ohio State University Buckeye J.K. Dobbins, 16 totes, 101 yards. Marvin Mims Jr. and Bo Nix also had rushing touchdowns. The story to me is the Bengals are cooked. My guy, They're cooked. Jake Browning, 14 of 25, 125 yards, no tutties, no picks. He was sacked three times for 19 yards. Cincinnati only rushed for 53 yards. 40 of those belonged to Chase Brown, but it was the receiving core. They are imploding. T. Higgins, 3 grabs, 32 yards. Chase Brown, 3 grabs, 31 yards. Ja'Marr Chase, 5 grabs, 23 yards. And a full-out showdown with his coach on the sideline.
Would you trade for Kirk Cousins right now? Or try to bring him in there?
No, I don't.
You don't think he's an upgrade over Browning?
No, I think he's an upgrade over Browning. I just don't think it matters. And if I'm the Bengals, knowing that, I'm not going to say knowing that, but I'm like 95% sure, at least Higgins and probably Ja'Marr Chase are going to force their way out at the end of the year. It is rebuild time for the Bengals. I cannot justify giving away even a 6th or a 7th round pick to the Falcons for Kirk Cousins to go 500 and miss the wild card. Like, there's no point. I would rather have as many draft. In fact, quite the opposite. If I'm Cincinnati, I am 1,000% a deadline seller at this point. I am selling everybody that I can get a haul of draft picks for.
Including the injured Joe Burrow?
Well, honestly, Joe's probably the only guy I keep on the roster. And that's only if he wants to. He may very well say, I'm done with this crap too. Right? Like, you guys have not put an offensive line in front of me that's ranked inside the top 20 in the NFL since I got here. I dragged you to a Super Bowl a few years ago, and what did I get back for it? Worst teams. You Jerry Jones to me. You went, oh, we had some success, so we can downgrade a little bit because it's Joe Burrow. I need some help, guys. All right, let's get to item number two. Won't spend a ton of time on this, but three NBA stories came out yesterday. NBA Media Day was yesterday, a time where every team sent out their coaches and players to stand in front of dorks with microphones like me and address the season upcoming. First and foremost, and probably the biggest story from yesterday, Kawhi Leonard spoke out for the first time since the Pablo Torre pod dropped that claimed the Clippers may or may not have been trying to circumvent the salary cap by having Kawhi Leonard be paid like a lot of money from a now bankrupt green banking company called Aspiration. Kawhi was asked about it yesterday at Media Day. He said, quote, I understand the full contract and the services that I had to do. I don't deal with the conspiracies or the clickbait analysis or journalism that is going on. Asked specifically by ESPN if he ever performed services for what Torre reported was a 4-year, $28 million contract. Leonard said, quote, I don't think it's accurate, but it's old. This is all new to you guys. The company went bankrupt a while ago. Yes, Kawhi, but do you understand we believe they went bankrupt because they had to give you the money? Do you understand that when we ask, did you perform services for this company that gave you a $29 million endorsement contract, which, by the way, was the amount of money to bring you to the contract you wanted to stay with the Clippers? We don't see any evidence of that. There's nothing on YouTube of you showing up at an event. There's no social media post, etc. This doesn't do anything for me, Kawhi. You didn't make it better. In fact, if anything, you made it worse. Out of the Lakers media day, J.J. Redick, this was announced last week, got an extension from the L.A. Lakers. So did Luka Doncic over the offseason. The question is, what's next for LeBron James? He was asked yesterday at media day, and speaking of our concept of team philosophy tonight, whether or not you believe he is being honest is up to you. But LeBron James was the consummate team professional yesterday. Asked if his contract situation will affect his approach to the season this year, he said, quote, it will have no impact. I'm super excited about the challenges and the excitement of our team. We added some new guys. We've got another year under our belt with our coaching staff from last year. Got a full year with Luka Doncic and another year with the guys that I've been with. So super excited about that. And I'm not worried about contracts at this point in my career. That doesn't bother me at all. Super humbled to even have a contract still and to be able to play the game that I love at this part of my career and take full advantage of it. Consummate team guy, LeBron James. And Giannis Antetokounmpo said yesterday that his goal, get another championship. That's not a story. What is a story is how he said it. When he said, quote, I'm saying the same thing I've been saying my whole career. I want to be on a team that allows me and gives me a chance to win a championship.
I want to be on a team.
You caught that too, I see. Giannis laying the brickwork to get up out of Milwaukee and go play for a team that is actually willing to build a team around him. We'll talk more about that later on. Let me get a very quick item number three. Very quick because, ladies and gentlemen, the 2025 Major League Baseball postseason is officially upon us. Four games today, four wild card games over in the American League. We'll get started off at 1 o'clock with the Tigers, who had a 15.5 game lead with 2 months left in the season, ended up losing that division to the Cleveland Guardians. Their reward for doing so, they have to go on the road to Cleveland for the wild card best of three. Then, at 3 o'clock, the Padres, checking in second in the NL West, earn a wild card. They will be on the road at another wild card team, the Chicago Cubs. That one live in Chicago at 3 p.m. At 6 o'clock, the Red Sox and Yankees, both wild card teams out of the AL East, will fight it out for the right to move on and take on the Blue Jays in round number two. That game at Yankee Stadium at 6 p.m. And finally, at 9 o'clock tonight, Reds-Dodgers is your 6-3 matchup in the National League. The Dodgers, of course, winning the NL West, but underachieving. They are the 3 seed. They play Cincinnati for the right to take on the 2 seed Philly. The Padres Cubs winner gets the Brewers. The Tigers Guardians winner gets the Mariners in the divisional round. To end this hour of the show, I will give you my wild card round picks and I will give you my World Series picks. We talk baseball to wrap up this hour. When we come back, I want to continue with this concept, this thought about team mentality, because we talked about the Panthers and we talked about the Ryder Cup squad for Team USA. I'd like to look at the two local teams now. I'd like to look at South Carolina. I'd like to look at Clemson. And I'd like to put that lens on them and see if you guys believe that you would confidently and accurately describe those two teams as playing good team philosophy-based football. We do that next. Rob Alonso and you, the Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
One of the things that makes evaluating whether a team is a good team, and I would dare say makes it difficult, is that every team has different ways of communicating or not communicating outwardly. I would like to very quickly cite two NFL teams and then move back to the college teams that we cover primarily here in the upstate. I would like to start with the New England Patriots, who, of course, under the leadership of Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, organized what I firmly believe to be the greatest dynasty in the history of the National Football League. And I would like to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs, who are currently running the best active dynasty, maybe in American sports, period. Especially with the Dodgers failing to get where they wanted to get this year. We're going to talk baseball in the next segment. Both of those teams, I think it would be fair to say, were excellent when it came to team mentality. But it was for a different reason. The point here is that there is no one formula to be a team that has a great team mentality, which is something that you must have when you are going to or you want to be successful in sports. And I don't care if you are talking about little league teams, middle school teams, high school teams, college teams, pro teams. You have to have great team chemistry. With the New England Patriots, we all know Hoodie's coaching style when he was with the Pats. It was very closed door to everybody who wasn't a member of that football team. But I've also said my theory about Bill Belichick. Hoodie's not a great coach. He's not, and I think you're seeing that now. Now, granted, he's not in his prime anymore at North Carolina, But I don't think Hoodie was ever a great X's and O's coach. What I think Hoodie was very good at was roster construction and management, which is a massive part of being a great head coach. Roster construction and management. What did Hoodie do at New England that made the Patriots the Patriots? My belief has always been he knew what he had in Tom Brady. He wanted to take advantage of what he had in Tom Brady. So he brought in guys that were going to fit in well with Tom Brady. And then he said, this is 12's team. You are going to do what it takes to fill in on the New England Patriots. And if you can't or won't, we will send you somewhere else. You didn't get a lot of outward communication from that team. You didn't get a lot of sound bites out of players on that team that you could look at. In fact, I would even go, if you watch this team in its prime, there were plenty of wins where the Patriots would get a dub and you'd never know it based on behavior because they weren't hooting and hollering and having a great time. They were just being the Patriots. Then there's the Chiefs, who I believe are kind of the exact opposite way in just about every way. Andy Reid is very open with the media. He is very happy to answer questions, have discussions, talk football. He goes on podcasts. He goes on television shows. He is very willing to be open and outward facing. Travis Kelce is probably, by way of being Mr. Taylor Swift, and also, I don't know if he is anymore, but for a run there, the best tight end in the National Football League. Travis Kelce has become one of the most famous men in America. He's got the best, or most popular, I should say, best is subjective, the most popular sports podcast in the United States along with his brother. That team, whether it is Patrick Mahomes or whether it has been any of the offensive linemen, like, this team is perfectly happy to be outwardly facing exactly who they are. And I think at the crux of all of this conversation about team is that the best teams are going to have guys who are capable of, willing to be who they are, but view it as more important that they are who they are within the scope of the team being what the team is, which is also why I think why you saw, and Zoe, correct me if you think I misread this, after the 0-3 start to the season for the Chiefs, we didn't really see all of the pomp and circumstance out of guys like we have. I mean, Travis was still doing the pod with Jason, but like we weren't seeing a lot of the clips and the fits and the social presence out of the Chiefs that we saw. Now, if they put a run together, which they've done, two wins, including one of the Ravens this weekend, if they get to 6-3, 7-3, they're stacking dubs, we'll probably see that character come back out. But what you saw, or what you see, I think, is a team that allows the guys on it to be themselves, because the guys on it being themselves believe that folding into what the team is as a culture is more important. At least that's the read I get on it from the outside looking in.
They rallied together. They got their things fixed, at least appears they have, after last week. And there's not a whole lot of complaining or anything like that. You're talking about them being quiet because they're trying to figure out what's wrong.
Yeah, I agree. Versus a spot where I got A.J. Brown posting Instagram stories after a win where he says he is unhappy because he didn't get his numbers, which is at least what I inferred out of that.
And see, you talk about Travis Kelce. If anyone could be complaining, it would be him because he doesn't get as many looks.
Oh, yeah.
Because on that team, whoever's got the hot hand, that's who they're throwing the ball to.
Without a doubt. And I mean, Mahomes is already known for spreading the ball around, but now he spreads the ball around and he's got a million options on that team. So the point here is, I think that teams are at their best when they allow the guys on it to openly be themselves, whoever they are, however they want to be that guy, but also have a group of guys that, while they have the freedom to do that, also look at it as, I need to be myself as long as it folds into what the team culture is, what the team mentality is. And as long as that happens, you've got a good team. So here is the question that I would ask of South Carolina Gamecock fans. Here is the question that I would ask out of Clemson Tiger fans. Do you believe, with the struggle, and yes, this is a slightly different conversation now that South Carolina got a win over Kentucky. Again, I'm not running out to buy you a bouquet of flowers. You better beat Kentucky. It's the worst Mark Stoops team he's had since he's been in Lexington. But you did what you were supposed to do, and you clearly outperformed a team that you were better than. Clemson has been outperformed by teams that they are better than. Now, the reaction to both has been interesting. I pointed out two weeks ago that after the second loss for South Carolina, it got real quiet in Columbia. We didn't see a lot of the clips. The press conference stuff that we heard from Shane Beamer was very football coachy, right? You didn't have a lot of the personality injected. We didn't hear a lot out of the players who are usually posting their own social media stuff. Didn't get a lot of that. Their social media kind of went quiet for a while. And I said, you know, I'm worried about that. And I'm worried about that because it is the culture that is the most attractive thing about South Carolina. You don't have a trophy case to lean on. You don't have conference championships to lean on. You don't have any individual awards and accolades to lean on. What you have to sell guys on is, we're fun, man, and we're a pretty good football team. Well, when the pretty good football team part went away, the fun part went away as well. Now, I said that, and I'll say again, because we don't have full access to locker rooms, you don't know what the discussions are that are taking place in said locker rooms. We just know what the outward-facing effort is. And I said, I'm worried if it goes away. Let me play you a quick clip from Shane Beamer in the press conference after the win over Kentucky, reminding you that this rivalry has kind of become a baby rivalry because of the Mark Stoops comments a couple of years ago about the funny glasses and the dancing. And you'll remember the song that South Carolina was dancing to in the locker room when all that got said was Soulja Boy. He was having fun. He was laughing his way through this press conference. It was the Shane Beamer that, whether you like it or you don't like it, you think it's professional or not, you think it's over the top or not, whatever. It was the Shane Beamer that, to me, has to be him for this team to take the next step up into the second tier of the Southeastern Conference. I've got you in a third tier right now. To take it up to step two and eventually long-term to tier one, that's the guy you've got to have. And so now I wonder, because paired with the concept of consistency, does that team that was flying around the field, does that team that looked like they were having fun playing Kentucky, do they have the team leaders to make sure that they are that same team this week? Because again, your schedule is about to get absolutely brutal. Your schedule from this point, the rest of the ride, is going to be rough. You have got a lot of ranked teams ahead of you, starting on the road at night under the lights in Baton Rouge in Louisiana. Yeah, it's a team that just took an L. You think LSU's not going to be ticked off and ready to get that one back after the L to Ole Miss? Then you got Oklahoma, who looks good. Alabama just beat Georgia. Ole Miss just beat LSU. Texas A&M's a top six team. And of course, doesn't matter if one team's good or bad, the Clemson game's always a game. Can you bring that mentality, that attitude back to the field against LSU under the lights, knowing that if you can, it is on the players to make it happen? Much like we said with Carolina, it's on the players to lead. Can they, will they? Gamecock fans, Tiger fans, how would you define your team as a team right now? Back after this with some baseball talk on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The 2025 Major League Baseball postseason begins today, ladies and gentlemen. Four games in the wild card round on tap. Remember, the wild card round is a best of three series that is played entirely at the home of the higher seed. We start off at 1 o'clock. The Tigers had a 15.5 game lead in the Central. They gave it all back. The Guardians took it from them. The Guardians could not catch the Mariners or the Jays, however, so they are the three seed by way of passing the Detroit Tigers at the buzzer. So the first wild card game and series will start today at 1 p.m., Detroit visiting Cleveland. Then we flip to the National League at 3 p.m. That is when the Cubs and the Padres will get after it. This one at Wrigley. Chicago checked in the wild card position after being unable to run down the Brew Crew in the NL Central. San Diego left behind late in the year by the LA Dodgers. That's your 5-4 match. Matchup, this one at Wrigley for the three-game series. At 6 p.m., we take it up to the Big Apple, to the Bronx, where the Yankees, by way of getting passed by Toronto in the AL East, will be the four seed, and they will host their AL East rivals, the Boston Red Sox, who earned the five seed in game one tonight at 6 o'clock. And then at 9 p.m., our final game of the evening, the Reds and the Dodgers. The Dodgers win the NL West, but do not reach the 100-win mark as predicted. That allows Philadelphia to take the two seed. LA drops to three, but they will host the six seed Cincinnati Reds, who, despite losing on the final day, also saw the Mets lose, meaning that they did clinch that final spot. The Tigers-Guardians winner gets the two-seeded Seattle. The Red Sox-Yankees winner gets the first seed in the AL. The Jays over in the NL. The Reds-Dodgers winner gets the two-seeded Philadelphia Phillies. And the Padres-Cubs winner gets the number one seed in the National League, the Milwaukee Brewers. So let's make some picks, predictions, projections, and prognostications for both the wild card round and for the World Series as a whole. I will tell you that last night, Cody Decker and I recorded a very long podcast previewing the entire postseason. I will have that posted for you later on this afternoon. I will let you know on social when it drops. Follow me at the Rob Brown Show if you are a baseball guy and interested in that. Let's start off with what I think is something that I have gotten away from the last couple of years. There are two things that, with a shocking level of accuracy and regularity, you can bank on as an accurate indicator of how the playoffs are going to go. The first is a cliche that, especially if you are a Braves fan, you have heard screamed a lot over the past couple of years. The team that is the hottest going into the playoffs, ordinarily a very good pick to win in the playoffs. Well, there are only two of those that jump off the page, both in the National League and the American League. Well, one in the National League, one in the American League. In the National League, it's the Milwaukee Brewers. The reason that they are the one seed is because this team got white hot down the stretch. This team was able to distance themselves from Philadelphia, from LA, and most importantly, from the Chicago Cubs. With about 3 weeks left in the season, it looked like, perchance, perhaps, per maybe, it looked like the Cubs might get their offense, which did sputter a number of times throughout the season, rolling again. It looked like PCA was going to come back on. Problem was, the Cubs pitching, which was pretty good for a good chunk of the year, kind of slowed up a little bit. Pitching matters. That's the second thing that you can gauge it on. Pitching wins in the playoffs. That's going to come into play here in just a moment from now. The Brewers and the Guardians are the two hottest teams that are entering this year's MLB postseason. As much as I think the Detroit Tigers are a better baseball team, I'm taking Cleveland in round number one over Detroit. Detroit is actually favored despite being the road team, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that Tarek Skubal is an absolute dog. That's your AL Cy Young winner this year. Here's the problem, and I pointed this out last night to Deck. Again, that interview will drop later on today. Tarek Skubal has lost his last three starts, or at least the team has lost Tarek Skubal's last three starts. Three starts ago, Tarek Skubal took on the Miami Marlins. And credit to the Marlins, because, again, nuance is kind of the name of the game on the Rob Brown Show. The Marlins played some pretty good baseball down the stretch. Sub-500 team, but were playing the best baseball they played all year down the stretch. Skubal lost that game to the Marlins. Then Skubal lost his next two starts. And this is why I am kind of blown away that not only is Detroit favored in this matchup, but, like, it's a pretty hefty favor. Tarek Skubal lost his last two games. They were both against the Cleveland Guardians. So you only get to throw Skubal for one game in a three-game set. And I think a lot of people are just assuming that that is a win, which is fair. Tarek Skubal, you can pretty much assume most games he started was a win. But he's 0-for-3 in his last three. And on top of that, the Tigers' bats to a large degree disappeared down the stretch. And on top of that, two of those losses for Skubal went to the Cleveland Guardians. And on top of that, despite the fact that at the trade deadline, the Guardians made a move that I called playoff preventing by trading Shane Bieber away, the Guardians pitching staff picked up the slack. Give me the Guardians in round number one. Game number two in the National League, Padres-Cubs. I really want to pick the Chicago Cubs. I do. I want to pick Chicago. I love PCA. I love Imanaga. Like, I love this team. This is, we talked about team chemistry a lot today. This is a fun team to watch play baseball. Like, they love playing baseball and they're fun to watch. The problem they have is that the Padres are another one of those teams that are playing their best ball. And more importantly, the Cubs pitching staff has, I'm not going to say disappeared on us, but it got icy cold down the stretch. And Chicago is not carrying, like Cleveland, like Milwaukee, like San Diego to some degree, they are not carrying a streaky run of dubs into the playoffs. But it's not. So the two things that are the most important for a team that is entering the postseason with some level of optimism, A, are you streaking when you go in, and B, is your pitching good? The answer is no to both for Chicago. I'll take the Padres over the Cubs, and that might be a two-game sweep. In game number three, the Red Sox are at the New York Yankees. The Yankees are the easy pick for most people. I'm going Boston. And I'll tell you why I'm going with the road upset for the Boston Red Sox here. It's a few things. Number one, the Yankees are leaning on their lineup right now. They are leaning on their power right now. They are leaning on Giancarlo. They are leaning on Aaron Judge. They are leaning on their bats to go hit a bunch of big dongs and run support them. Now, they do have the best, maybe the best pitcher in the American League, not named Skubal, going today. That, of course, being former Atlanta Brave Max Fried. But the Red Sox are going with Garrett Crochet, who is in his back pocket in just about every statistic that is measurable off the bump. I do not think game one is a given. Here's the reason, though, that I'm going with the Red Sox. What has been the bugaboo for the Yankees this year? What has been the problem? The problem is they're a bad defensive team. Not a defensive team that's playing poorly. I mean, they are a bad defensive team. They are a team that, against a lineup that can put the ball in play and does not rely on giant dongs to do it, the Red Sox, they're a team that is going to give up a few runs across a three-game series on errors, on mental relapses, whatever it is that we want to blame it on. The Red Sox pitching staff is not as far behind the Yankees as everybody thinks it is. The Red Sox lineup is a much better small ball team than the Yankees are. They can put the ball in play, get around the bags quite a bit. And most importantly of all, the Yankees relying on hitting, not pitching, although it's good pitching, outside of Max Fried, it's not great. Relying on home runs while having defensive liabilities is a recipe for disaster. Give me the Red Sox. And then finally, in the series that starts off with its first game latest tonight, Reds-Dodgers. Listen, I want to pull for the Reds. I am pulling for the Reds against the juggernaut that is the Dodgers. I love Ellie De La Cruz. He is one of my favorite baseball players on the planet right now. I love Hunter Green, who will get the start tonight. He's my strikeout king. I love Hunter Green. Just a fun pitcher to watch pitch. Like, there's just an exuberance off the bump that not a lot of guys have like Hunter Green does. Here's the problem. I don't know what they do outside of that to combat what the Dodgers can do, because the Dodgers have top line pitching and they can play any sort of offense that they need to in any given spot. You need dongs? No problem. Freddie Freeman and Shohei Ohtani are right there. You need small ball? No problem. You got guys like Mookie Betts all the way around the lineup. I know. This is one of those spots where the analysis is going to be very lazy. The Dodgers are just a better baseball team. And when I say better, I think in almost all of these series, there is a team that is clearly a better baseball team. However, there's a lot of deficiencies with them. The Dodgers are just that far ahead of Cincinnati. I am more interested in what is an inevitable round two matchup between the Los Angeles Dodgers and having to go on the road to Philly to take on the Phillies in round number two. Far as the World Series goes for me, I'm going back to that pitching. I'm going back to what I believe matters the most when it comes to pitching. Out of the American League, give me the Cleveland Guardians. Give me the Seattle Mariners over the Cleveland Guardians in round number two. And I'm going to take them over the Blue Jays in the ALCS. The Seattle Mariners have the, in my opinion, best and not nearly appreciated pitching staff in Major League Baseball. And oh, by the way, Cal Big Dong might as well go win the whole thing. Raleigh is now surrounded by guys. Eugenio Suarez, Robbie Naylor, who they picked up at the trade deadline. Like, they've got dogs. They can hit the ball as well as anybody, in my opinion, and they have the best pitching staff in baseball. Pitching matters, and I don't think there's a staff. Cleveland's close, but I don't think there's a staff that will keep up with Seattle. I'm taking the Mariners out of the American League, out of the National League. Much more difficult bounce around for me because I sat down last night trying to rank the pitching staffs of these teams. The Phillies, I would like to put at the top, but here's the thing. There's no Zach Wheeler in this spot. Walker Buehler's been good, but Aaron Nola, who was good in his last start, has not been good this year. I don't think the Phillies have the pitching staff to get there. And while I think Duran is a great pitcher, a great closer, and Matt Strom's a great setup man, they don't have any depth past that, so I can't pick them. I would like to pick the Dodgers. I mean, the Dodgers with Yamamoto, Blake Snell, Tyler Glasnow, Shohei Ohtani, Clayton Kershaw, Emmett Sheehan if they need him. The Dodgers are a pick. Here's the thing. They've had that rotation, with the exception of injuries, throughout the course of the season, and they were not able to separate from anybody else. They weren't able to get away from anybody else in the National League. The Dodgers coming in, if there was a safe bet in the preseason, the safe bet was with this absolute all-star rotation that they have, the Dodgers should not be setting the over-under mark at 101.5 wins. It should be at like 108, 109.5. They did not get it to 100 wins this year. Even with that staff, and yes, they had injuries. Guys missed a lot of time. Shohei didn't start throwing until what? A week and a half, 2 weeks before the All-Star game. I get it. They've had this rotation all year, and it never really jumped off the page at you. So out of the National League, the team that I am looking at, and this might be a problem. They have an excellent bullpen. The question mark is consistency. They have dealt with injuries. Jose Quintana, Brandon Woodruff, Jacob Mrazowski, who started as a dude that was like, we might have found the next Randy Johnson, and has posted a 6.06 ERA in his last few games. I would like to go with the Brewers out of the National League, but I can't do it. I'm going to go with the Padres, and I'll tell you why. They may not have the aces up the sleeve that a lot of these other teams do as far as the front-end rotation, but they've got every setup man and every closer that everybody else has, and they are the hottest team that's not the Brewers coming in. So why pick the Padres over the Brewers in round number two? Very simple. Because they have both things. The Brewers, I have questions. Now, if the Brewers pitching staff comes out and everybody's healthy and Mizorowski's ERA isn't 6.06 in the playoffs, then the Brewers will win the National League. And they were my pick last night with Cody Decker. But once I got in this morning and I told him I reserved the right to change it up until first pitch of game number one today at 1 p.m., I am doing that now. I am shifting it up and taking the Padres because The pitching staff, the front end stuff for the Brew Crew is banged up. If it wasn't, easy pick for Milwaukee. I am relying on you don't just bounce back as a pitcher and start killing it immediately. All right, so there's my predictions. I'll take the Mariners to the American League Championship Series in a winner. I will take the Padres to the NLCS in a winner. We'll do more World Series stuff later on. We've got Lulu Kessin of the Greenville News joining us next to talk Gamecock football. We got Lonzo with a world-class sports flash now.
The Miami Dolphins picked up their first win of the year last night, beating the Jets 27-21. Tua Tagovailoa completed 17 of 25 passes for 177 yards and 2 touchdowns. Tyreek Hill was forced to leave the game with a dislocated knee and major ligament damage, which will end his season. It was ugly. It was very ugly. The Denver Broncos got to 2-2 with a 28-3 win over the Bengals last night on the arm of Bo Nix, who completed 29 of 42 passes for 326 yards and a pair of touchdowns. The Bengals were held to just 53 rushing yards and 125 passing yards, with no receiver recording more than 32 receiving yards. That's not good. Clipper star Kawhi Leonard has spoken out for the first time since allegations of salary cap circumvention by his team. Leonard denied that he was paid by the now bankrupt Aspiration for no services provided. He called the story conspiracy and labeled it as not accurate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.